The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 17 through 20, if you'd like to read with me. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Thank you for those songs, Joel. They really hit right on the mark. Paul, I attribute as the author of the book of Hebrews. He wrote this letter to encourage the Christians to remain faithful in Christ and to Christ. Paul, however, was persuaded of better things regarding his listeners. So here he reminds them that our hope is anchored in heaven, where Christ has entered to sit on the right hand of the throne of God. For us as Christians, hope is critical and important. We need hope because it gives us something to talk about. People love to talk about their plans. Just come over to my house and I'll tell you the plans I have for the screened-in porch or for my storage shed. We'll be all afternoon. I can show you exactly what I want to do. People like to talk about their plans for the future. Especially young people, they like to talk about maybe what college they would like to attend or what job they would like to have or what kind of home they would like to live in. It's a funny thing about working people. At work, they talk about vacations. When they're gathering together in a social climate, they talk about work. Us older folks like to talk about retirement. So it's natural that Christians would talk about their plans to be in heaven. Right after Peter said that he would defend Christ, and after Christ told him in John 13 that he would deny him three times, Jesus, in John 14, spoke about his plans to the disciples. In the first three verses of John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare for you a place. And if I go and prepare for you a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, even Paul himself to the Philippians had spoke about his desire to depart and to be with Christ. Philippians 1 and verse 23. It's not that he was frustrated with Christians. It wasn't that he was tired of doing what he was doing, but he was caught between a rock and a hard place. He said, "For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." You know, he loved his brothers and sisters in Christ. But his hope was on something much further away. And at that moment, it was out of arm's reach. But Peter also spoke of his hope for the resurrection in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and also in verse 21. And Peter wrote, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." In verse 21 he says, "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." You know, the brethren in Thessalonica, they had a problem. It was very disconcerting to them. They were very troubled. You know, they were concerned about their brothers and sisters in Christ who have already passed away. You see, they were looking so forward to the second coming. And they thought that the brethren there that had already passed on was going to miss out. And in his letter, Paul wrote words of encouragement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verses 13 through 18, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Not Paul's imaginations, but by the word of the Lord. "That we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Yes, hope gives us something to talk about. Hope also gives us something to sing about. It gives us something to rejoice about. And hope also gives us something to work towards. You know, think about the expected father and what he's working towards. Usually it's trying to get a nursery ready. Usually it's trying to make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be so when the time comes, he can grab it and run. Think about the person who is out there working hard to maybe see an increase in pay or a promotion so that they can pay their bills. Maybe the ones that are working towards their vacations. During my time in the military, and many of you served in the military, you ticked off 1 month at a time, and that was another 2.5 days of vacation time. As Christians, hope motivates us to work. We have hopes for our work here. When we plan work for the congregation, we elevate our hopes. Paul often spoke of his future work as well. He told the church of Rome after he told them that he has to go to Jerusalem first to minister to the saints and to take a contribution for the poor saints. In Romans 15 and verse 28, he said, "When therefore I have performed this and sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." That was his desire. That was his plans. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14, he wrote, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." And John, in 3 John chapter, verse 14, John said, "But I hope shortly to see thee, and we shall speak face to face." You know, it's hope for eternal life that motivates us the most. or it should at least. It is that hope that motivates us to serve the Lord. You know, Paul described himself as a servant in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hope also motivates us to be sober. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, Peter said, "Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Why do you try to lead a good life? Why do you try to keep yourself poor? It's because hope motivates us. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. "And it doth not yet appear that we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, when Christ shall appear, that we shall be like Him." But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. You know, we all look different now. And there's probably not a single bit of resemblance between me and Jesus Christ when He was a physical man. But we're going to be like Him. And we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. You're here this morning because of hope. You strive to be better Christians because of hope. If there's no hope, there would be nothing to work for. There would be nothing to work towards. You know, we look at hope and we see it out there before us, when in actuality, hope is behind us, nudging us ever more closer. Because hope gives us something to hang on to. If we have hope, we can get through the most difficult things. We can see that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. The lights have not been turned out for us. It's like a Motel 6. The light has been left on. And we can see it. We can do our daily chores that need to be done because of our hope of eternal rest. You know, many of you out there, you can't wait to retire. You work hard day in and day out, sometimes 6 days a week, sometimes seven. And you're sitting there and you can feel it in your body. And then when you're done with that work, then you're are out here doing the Lord's work. And you're being beat down. But you have that hope of eternal rest that keeps you moving one step in front of the other. You know, we can raise our children in the hope that they have a good life. We can work through the difficulties in our marriages knowing that better times are ahead. For Christians, hope provides us a way to deal with life's problems. All the apostles suffered trials and tribulations. It just happens to be that Paul is the one that was most vocal about it. More is written about the trials and tribulations of Paul than all the other apostles. In Romans 5 and verses 3 through 5, Paul said, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Yes, Paul knew about persecution. Paul knew, just as many of the apostles knew, what it was like to be stoned and flogged and thrown in jail. In Acts 28 and verse 20, Paul says, "For this cause, therefore, I have called for you, and to see you, and to speak to you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." You see, Paul's hope was nudging him to work. As you see, Paul could have escaped all this. Agrippa was going to let Paul go. There was nothing wrong with that, but because of that, Paul appealed to Caesar. Paul sealed his fate by appealing to Caesar. The Jews could not touch him. And on the way, he was shipwrecked. While on Malta, he was bitten by a snake. And then from that time forth, when he finally got to Rome, he spent his time in prison, writing letters of encouragement to the brethren, telling them how to endure. When we have hope, we can endure almost anything. There's a story about a little boy that was seriously burned. Burned so bad that there was not a whole lot of hope for his recovery. But there was a teacher that was sent for by the hospital. They wanted to try to keep the boy's mind going. And they wanted him taught. So this teacher was taken to his room. She didn't know really what to expect. And when she walked into the room, the burn ward, she saw the little boy. She stopped and gasped. She was shocked by his condition. After getting control of herself, she started to work on her own adverbs and nouns with the little boy. In her mind, as she was going through the lesson, she's saying, "I don't know why I'm here. He's just laying there." There was no response from the little boy. And this is supposedly a true story. Well, after the lesson was over, she left. And as she left, she said she would be back tomorrow. But as she walked out into the hallway, she thought to herself, "I don't know how I can even bother coming back tomorrow." She thought that this was all hopeless. So she left. The next day she returned to the hospital and she was met by a nurse. And the nurse came up to her and she said, "What did you do?" And the teacher kind of was taken aback and she says, "What do you mean, what did I do?" And she says, "I don't think you understand." She said, "The little boy has improved drastically and we can't understand why." As the teacher went to the boy's room, his physical condition had not changed, but there was a sparkle in his eye. And his eyes were following her as she entered the room. The teacher sat down and she says, "What happened?" The little boy says, "Well, ever since I got here in my accident, everybody thought I was going to die, and I thought that too. But she said, the day that you walked in my room, I realized that people there thought I would get better, and it gave me hope." They thought I was going to leave here because you're here. I know I'm going to leave here because you're here. You gave me hope. It was a poem written by Emily Dickinson. And she writes, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. And the sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chilliest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Hope doesn't ask anything of you. It gives. It is nudging you forward to the light at the end of the tunnel. Do you have hope today? If you're not in Christ, where does your hope lie? Does it lie on a paycheck at the end of this week? Does your hope lie that you're going to have a meal today? Or that your plans are in the works and it'll soon be realized? If that is where your hope lies, rest assured when you get to the end of the that there is no light on. It ends there. If you're not a child of God, I want you to set your sights a little higher. The light at the end of the tunnel will come on because of hope. When you obey the gospel, that light is on. And you have someone nudging you from behind towards that light. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you an opportunity this morning to become one. You're here for a reason, so you must believe. And if you must believe in order to be saved, if you believe that the Word of God is true, then you'll also believe that He asks that you repent and that you confess His Son before men, that He is the Son of the living God, and that you be baptized for the remission of sins. If that is your desire this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize, and you're sitting there, I have no hope. If you're a brother or sister in Christ, you do have hope. You do. If you need the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you just need to be able to communicate with God as you did before, but because something, sin in your life has prevented you from doing that, and you need to ask for forgiveness, we want to give you that opportunity also. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.